This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Spiegel and Holmes, afternoons on the Score.
Hello? You play to win the game.
We're playing to win this week.
All right, final hour for us. He's Anthony Hare, and I'm Judson Richards. We are in for Spiegel and Holmes today. So excited to talk to our next guest. He is Herm Edwards. He is the one with, you know, I don't want to go too far, but that is one of the most favorite or famous quotes in sports. And Herm, I'm sorry, it's a bit on the nose, but you heard Ben Johnson follow up after you, where when Ben Johnson was asked this week about how they're going to approach the Detroit Lions, they're already in as the 2 or the 3 seed, and he said very clearly, we're going to play to win that game. What was it so much about that quote from yours back in 2002 that you think resonated so much with the public?
Well, I just think people, you know, in general, whenever you are a competitor, I mean, if that's not your mindset, then you got a problem, right? And it doesn't matter how many games you won or lost. I mean, every game is or opportunity is that's the most important opportunity. And when you stop playing to win, then why are you playing? At the end of the day, I mean, that's just kind of important last time I checked.
And it seems that this coach, Ben Johnson, for the Bears in his first year, we had seen for seasons that he was a high-level offensive mind in Detroit. And then you had Dan Campbell as the head coach that seemed to be this sort of driving force for the Detroit culture. But there was no way to know for sure how Ben Johnson would manage a full locker room, a full organization. I've been so impressed, Coach, with the way that Ben Johnson, as he's come in here, he's not only bringing that offensive prowess to him, but this team as a whole, the competitive drive that's there and the accountability has come with him as well. It seems like kind of a rare combination of scheme and cultural leadership. What stood out to you about how Ben Johnson's been running the Bears?
Well, first thing that you notice right away is quarterback play, right? I mean, you know, Caleb Williams, first player picked. I mean, he last year struggled holding on to the ball, took what, 68 sacks? Something crazy like that. And, you know, now this team is a scoring machine. It showed up in San Francisco. I mean, now if you're a defensive coach, you can't watch the tape. but, you know, this is a team now that is running on all cylinders offensively. And they do a good job defensively of taking the ball away. I mean, that's the number one in the league, taking the ball away. So that gives your offense more possessions. It also helps your quarterback in the sense if he errors, let's just say, and he throws a pick or they have a fumble on offense, they just feel like, look, our defense will bail us out. So this team is humming. No one anticipated that they would be 11-5 and lead the NFC North with Green Bay in that division, Detroit in that division, and obviously Minnesota. You know, if you were a betting person, I bet you nobody bet that the Chicago Bears with one game left would basically have a 2-game lead in their division.
I had the opportunity, the pleasure, really, to be able to call some of the games. When you were at Arizona State, I was at the Pac-12 Network, and you had a true freshman, Jaden Daniels, at quarterback for you. And myself and my broadcast partner at the time was a guy named Roxy Bernstein. We're both in the meeting room with you. And me and Roxy still joke about it now, where we were just foaming at the mouth about how incredible Jaden Daniels was as a true freshman for you. You were telling us both to calm down. You know, like, he's a young guy. There's a lot of football ahead of him. He's going to have some hiccups. And now, these years later, where he had the opportunity, he played so much college football, had so much time on task, as did Bo Nix and all these guys in the same draft class with Caleb. And you're referencing the development you've seen in Caleb in his second season. Is it underappreciated how much just the time on task, the amount of starts a guy has in college, can prepare them for immediate success as a pro?
Well, that and who's coaching him and what are they willing to do? Or is their offense, especially play quarterback, is it flexible enough to obviously, you know, blend in with what the quarterback skill set is. I mean, I've seen a lot of coaches, you know, all of a sudden they got a system, and the system's bigger than the players. You got a problem. If your system's bigger than the players, you got a big problem. Your system has to be, flexible to understand that something, you know, I got a system, but you know what, I can do this too. And so I think that's the big deal with Caleb. I mean, he's still an athletic quarterback. You want him at times to make a few plays with his legs, because that's the number one thing that defenses, you know, are really, when you think about a defensive player and a defensive coach, you dread the fact that when the quarterback can make the unannounced play, leaves the pocket with his legs, you can't coach that. You don't see that on tape, because you don't know when he's going to go. And when he goes, all of a sudden you're like, uh-oh, now we got a problem, right? So defensively, it makes you a little more cautious on what you want to do, because the quarterback now is a part, you know, he just balanced the field on you. It's 11-on-11 football. It used to be 11-on-10 because the quarterback was in the pocket and he didn't have to worry about the guy leaving. Well, now he leaves the pocket. So now you got to have a rush guy. Look, you got to make sure you're spying the guy, or you got to have a linebacker. You got to make sure you're spying the guy. So somebody all of a sudden in coverage has to make sure if this quarterback leaves the pocket, we can tackle him.
He spent a decade in the lead in the secondary, also head football coach of the Kansas City Chiefs and the New York Jets and Arizona State University, and much, much, much more. I still see him on my team. He's doing a great job as well on ESPN. He is Herm Edwards with us on 6-7 The Score. Herm, the message is very fresh from Ben Johnson in year one. You've heard the good, better, best in the locker room, right? You can feel the good vibes there. That messaging will not be as new by year two. For you, what was the biggest challenge from year one to year two to be able to keep that same momentum, same energy as that brand new messaging from Ben Johnson?
Well, I think you find out a lot about the players collectively, but also individually, as well as your coaching staff. And then you got to evaluate things and say, okay, we can do this. Well, how do we improve this? I mean, when you look at them as a whole, you go, here's the Chicago Bears. Now, what's saving you on defense is you're plus 22 in takeaways. But your ranking, you're 28th. That ain't a good number last time I checked. You're third in offense, right? You're third running the football, which is really good balance. And so, you know, I mean, you're 11th in passing. That's fine. But on defense, you're 28th, and you're 28th versus the run. That's not good. And so you look at that part of it and say, look, we won 11 games, and we can fix that. How much better can we become? So it's all those little things you got to look at, because you're always trying to improve, right? And you got to look at your scheme on defense. You got to look at what you're asking the players to do. Do you have to go out in free agency and get a couple guys? Who you going to draft? I mean, all these things become part of how do you continue to win, because that's the whole key now. Because now you're the hunted. Next year, you're going to win the NFC North. Okay, so now, all those other teams, Detroit, Green Bay, Minnesota, they're building their team and their roster to beat you. I mean, that's how it works. You know, when the winning team in that division, you look at the team and you go, okay, what do we have to do so we can beat these guys?
What's a fair way to gauge the risk-reward kind of analysis that a coach would go to in that final game of the regular season? You know, like a Tony Dungy, if they had it wrapped up, his guys are going to sit. We were talking about Ben Johnson, yourself, the philosophy of making sure competition is there. And I think getting rusty is certainly worthy of concern if you just let guys sit and kind of lose that edge a little bit. How do you view that just from a team perspective, a cultural perspective of putting your guys out there? But there is the risk that you suffer an injury if you already have a playoff seat locked up.
No, you're right. But, you know, it's coordinated. You know, who's not going to play? That's the first thing you got to ask yourself. Who do we want not to play? Is it an old veteran guy, you know, who's played 12 years, 10 years in the league, might be nicked, or a guy's not 100%? So that helps you when you think of it that way. But my philosophy was real simple. Last time I checked, football players play football. I mean, that's what they do.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
They signed on to do that now. And all of a sudden, when you start sitting there toward the end of the season and going, well, you know what, I might have to rest a couple guys now. That's okay. But don't say you're going to rest the whole team. Uh-uh. It don't work that way. And it goes by rank and file. You got to ask your coaches, okay, we're going to get this young guy in maybe in the second quarter. Because eventually, let me tell you something. That last game, you're still trying to win. And it ain't like, hey, we don't want to win. Yeah, you do. You want to win everyone you play. They all matter, whether you're in the playoffs or not. So don't say, well, I'm putting the second guys in there, well, we don't want to win. No. They have to understand, guys, you're going in the game to win. We're not trying to forfeit this game. We're not trying to get out of here and save guys. There's always a couple guys you're going to rest. I get all that. But for the most part, man, look, football players play football. When I was playing for Philadelphia, they didn't even ask me to say, hey, I'm playing, coach. I'm the starter. I'm playing every game.
Yeah, Herb, it's interesting. You know, the Philadelphia Eagles, they are resting guys, right? They are resting Jalen Hurts. It feels a little bit like, if we win, we win. If we don't, we don't. Ben Johnson says, we don't want to go into the playoffs on a two-game losing streak with the game they just lost to the San Francisco 49ers. You know, as the quote you heard coming in, like, we're playing to win that game. To the playoffs, the Bears, you know, you just covered the struggles for this defense. Two seed versus three seed. Like, what's the truest thing that we know about having success in the playoffs, and what do we need to see from the Bears to do that?
Well, the Bears have to be the Bears. You're not going to, you know, recreate the wheel. And you have to make sure that all of a sudden you don't try to get out of kilter and become something you're not. How you play offense, how you play defense, that got you there. You're going to be you're 11-5, so if you win, you're going to be 12-5, all right? So, but don't try to change things. Now, you might have a little something here or there. What got you there is what got you there. And the players know, because as soon as you start making changes, the players start looking at you going, coach, why are we doing that? Because we're getting in the playoffs, we're going to do that? We ain't never done that, coach. So don't try to fool the players. Now, you might have a little special something, a play or two, and you might have a certain blitz you hadn't run in a while, or, you know, a pressure practice, but just be who you are. That's what got you there.
As we've been talking about the possibility, the Bears as a two seed, they may be more likely to see Green Bay, who they've played a couple of times this year. Packers are pretty banged up. Or as a three seed, they might be more likely to see one of these teams from the NFC West, which, frankly to me, those are more complete teams. Look like they got some Super Bowl caliber rosters in Seattle, San Francisco, LA with the Rams. How do you sort of, I guess, what's your hierarchy in the NFC right now? Who are a couple of those teams you think could really make a run?
Well, you mentioned it. I think the NFC West has, you know, three of the better teams. There's no doubt about that. Now, San Francisco plays Seattle this week, so that'll be interesting to see where they lie at home. And, you know, Philly's a team that's a lot of playoff experience. I think offensively, you know, they're clunky at times. They're like those potholes back east in the Midwest. You know, you hit them potholes every once in a while. You ain't got to worry about your tire, but that's how their offense plays. You know, it goes for a little while, and all of a sudden it gets clunky, you know. I think, you know, Carolina and Tampa, you know, it's one of those divisions. I mean, it's kind of crazy. I mean, this could be one of these deals where if Tampa Bay should win this, you know, can you imagine they'll be 8-9 and winning a division? That'd be interesting, right? Now, I'm just saying, it'd be 8-9. There's nothing wrong with 8-9 winning a division, but 8-9. I mean, that's okay. And then you got, you know, you guys have been to the North. You know, Green Bay's Green Bay. I mean, they've been in the playoffs, quarterback, good player. So I just think that, you know, the West might be the strongest division. Not saying they're going to the Super Bowl, but the likelihood, I think one of them might. You know, it's kind of interesting. I say that, and I thought the Rams were really good. Then they turn around and, you know, they lose to Carolina the 1 week, and then they mess around and they lost Atlanta. soon as you think they're good, it's like, well, how do you do that? How do you have those two losses? But that's what's so great about the league. You know, it's not who you play, it's how you play the day you play.
Herb, we appreciate your time. I love watching you break down these NFL games. It's going to be a great one. San Francisco 49ers and the Seahawks coming up on Saturday, and then we'll get in these playoffs. And who knows? Maybe the Bears can surprise some people, Herm.
Oh, you know what? I thought that, you know, I had a feeling they were going to be good this year. I said it, I mean, in the offseason, I said, look out for the Bears. They're going to be better. You know, I knew when the coach went over there, I said, he's going to fix the quarterback, and they're going to have a chance. Now, I didn't think they would be 11-5 leading the division, but I thought they would be a lot better than they were last year, and they have done that. And good for them and good for the Bear fans.
Thanks, Herm.
Thanks, Coach.
Okay. My pleasure.
All right. There he is. Herm Edwards, you play to win the game. It was dubbed the Hermism. Why do you think that resonated so much with people?
I think he was so aghast at the question that was a part of it. You know, just the idea of not competing at your peak, not attempting to go out there and win. Herm just, he doesn't speak that language.
Right.
And you could tell that through every ounce of him is about competition and trying to be at your best when you are in this competitive environment, and how much more competitive can it get than life in the National Football League. And he had a very similar approach there in his time leading Arizona State football also. And so it was the quote, but then also just him just not even computing why someone would ask whether or not they were really going to try their hardest to win.
His face kind of said the gall, right?
Yeah,
the gall of
right.
asking, which right. I think is one of the reasons why we're drawn to Ben Johnson.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean,
yeah.
We're not just drawn to him because he's winning, right? Mm-hmm. Or at least, you know, maybe I'm speaking for me.
I mean, it helps, but yeah, I mean,
it absolutely. Yeah, I mean,
yeah.
We would be drawn to him if he was losing.
All the good, better, best stuff, if we only heard that 5 times instead of 11 times so far, we might feel differently about it.
For example, I did not know this. Like, Norv Turner and his daughter have a podcast. Hmm. It popped up. They had Cam Newton on recently. It popped up on my timeline. And I was curious, you know, and I covered Norv, the 2011 season.
Yeah.
And the way that Norv spoke was, he had a very unique delivery. He kind of, you know, for a great football mind, he also sounded like he could take a nap at any moment, right?
Yeah.
Like, even when he was winning, I don't know if there would be that same kind of flame that we're drawn to, like the way that Herm Edwards would think, why in the world would you have any other approach than this one? Mm. And Ben Johnson, when asked about how they were going to approach the Detroit Lions, was very much of the, of course.
Yeah.
We're going to all go out there and we're going to play to win the game. Like, sure, it's winning, but the good, better, best, there seem to be something more, much more than that. And winning, one of the great parts about sports is we can check your resume very easily. It's called going to the standings. but how do you get there? How do you get there, and how do you cause others to rally, right? We've rallied because the team has rallied, and that feels so much because of Ben Johnson. They've had one winning season. In 12 years, they've averaged 5 wins in the last 3 years. And so much of that has to do with the man, not just the X's and O's.
And as an old English nerd, for me, uh-oh, just in hearing Ben Johnson speak, he does have a really strong command of the English language as well.
Yes, he does.
So just him as a communicator, like, you know, we were talking about that Detroit game earlier in the season, and even the way he phrased it afterwards, where the direct quote was something along the lines of, Our practice habits have yet to reflect that of a championship caliber team. It delivers the exact message he wants delivered while not necessarily being completely disrespectful. Like, we don't practice hard, or we're soft, or there's phrases that he could have used that maybe a lot of other kind of old school grizzled football guys might have used in that moment to describe the team that would have been a bit more inflammatory, that would have been earned after a 50-burger getting put on him at Ford Field. But he's got a really good command of the English language, which in delivering your public message, that matters. And he's really effective in that regard also. It doesn't end up mattering as much in the NFL, but in a city like Chicago, his ability to communicate and to resonate, that's allowed the city to really have a good sense for how he feels about the team at every step along the way, while not, even if there's been frustrations or disappointments along the way, he communicates it in a way that's measured enough. My message is delivered without being disrespectful completely of the guys that are here putting the work in and day out. And there's some nuance to it, and he does a really effective job in that.
There's been a lot made about how he communicates or how they've communicated, he and Caleb Williams. You know what? One way I really thought he communicated to him during training camp was the way that he talked about Tyson Bagent and paid him. I think that is also a motivator, right? In the way that you do it in a roundabout fashion.
Right. Like, not like Tyson Bagent was about to take his job, but yeah, I mean, like, we respect the way he goes about his business, and we're willing to reward that. Like, I could see that.
Not for a moment did he speak as glowingly about Caleb as he did about Tyson Bagent, right?
Yeah.
Maybe in the opening press conference in January, certainly not in August.
Right.
Did that help? Did that get more out of number 18? I think it might have.
That's interesting. I hadn't thought about it in that way yet. Yeah, I'll try to compute that.
Yeah, well, get back to me. I also, I've got a question for you.
Okay.
Because Tyler and I talked about this before the show. We both agreed that you're going to disagree with me. But I'll set the tease, then we'll take which direction.
Because I like you too much now, so that's good. I got to find something to disagree about.
Let's see if I can get you hit by the end of the show. If the Bears do not win a playoff game, would you consider this season still a success? And we'll open the phone lines too, 312-644-6767. We'll jump into that. He is Anthony Hare, and I'm Judson Richards. We are in for Spiegel and Holmes on 670 The Score.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.